Well, we are in our fourth sermon in our series on what we believe. And so far, we've covered what we believe about the Bible, the Holy Scriptures. We learned that this is the Word of God, and it contains no error. It does not change. We've learned about the eternal Godhead. Last week, we talked about the fall to new birth and what that means, that we can become children of God. And now today, we're going to look at what we believe about our daily Christian life. What does it look like for us who have chosen to follow Jesus to continue to stay in step with him? Now, obviously, this is important if we're going to follow him. We need to know what it looks like and how our faith can be lived out day to day. And so I want to begin this morning by sharing the full statement of our belief from our denomination. It says, "We believe that having been cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and having received the witness of the Holy Spirit at conversion, it is the will of God that we be sanctified daily and become partakers of his holiness, growing constantly stronger in faith, power, prayer, love, and service, first as babies desiring the sincere milk of the word, then as dear children walking humbly, seeking diligently the hidden life where self decreases and Christ increases, then as strong men having on the whole armor of God, marching forth to new conquests in his name beneath his blood-stained banner, ever living a patient, sober, unselfish, godly life that will be a true reflection of the Christ within." Amen. As I read this statement, and as I studied it this week, there were really three stages of development that stood out to me, that kind of jumped out to me, and I want to focus on those, because obviously with that statement, man, we could go deep and we could be here for weeks just talking and unpacking this one. But there's three that I want to focus on this morning, and the three that jumped out at me were that we are babies desiring milk, then dear children, and then finally, that mature adulthood. See, in our spiritual walk with God, we need to recognize that there are these developmental markers. There are seasons, different seasons, if you will. So all of us, when we first make the decision to follow Jesus, we are considered spiritual babies. But as we continue to journey, we're meant to develop and to grow. And we go from those babies who could only process the milk to children who can begin to chew on things, right? Digest a little bit more, to then greater maturity when we're able to get the most out of what we put in. But all of this growth and development can only happen if we start from the beginning and then keep growing. Now, before we continue this morning, I want to make an important note and clarification. Today, we're going to be talking about these different stages in our walk with God. As I said, from infancy to adulthood. But what is important for us to know, and I want us to really keep it at the front of our minds today, is that each one of these stages is necessary and important. One is not better than the other. When we are living them out in the right time and in their right way, there's a purpose for each one. At each stage of development in our spiritual walk with God, we need the Bible. Brad opened the service today with that passage from John 15, saying that we need to abide in the vine, which is Christ. We need to abide in Jesus, because as we do, we grow. We are able to produce fruit from him. So taking the word of God, allowing it to transform us from the inside out, that is what's going to take us from one stage of development to the next. This is exactly the same in our humanity, right? No one would look, I don't think so anyways, you would look at a baby. No one would look at a baby and say, man, that infancy stage, it's not necessary. Or even somehow a lesser stage than adulthood. Why? Because there's necessary growth and development that can only happen as an infant. There is a particular bonding that takes place between baby and child that only happens at that stage of infancy. Bonding that flows from that dependence on the milk that the mother provides. And without that dependence on mom feeding the baby would never grow into that next stage of development. I read an article a while back on what a healthy church looks like, and one of the sentences in this article that stood out to me said this: the greatest sound you can hear in a church service is a baby crying. Why? How many of you love it when you're preaching and all of a sudden a baby starts crying, or you're worshiping and you're like so deep with Jesus? Wah, wah. It can be a little bit jolting. It's the greatest sound in a church. Why? Because that is the future. That is the sound of someone who is going to grow up in the church, in faith, and be the next leaders, be the leaders of tomorrow. They will grow into adolescence and then into adults. So let's talk about that adolescent stage in development, the importance of children. In this stage of development, when questions are asked, lots of questions, perhaps it can be a stage where things that have always been are now maybe challenged a little bit. When youthful ideas are brought forward. If there's one thing that I know, it's that this stage keeps us on our toes, right? It keeps us fresh. These young ones help those of us who are a bit older to relate to a world that is rapidly changing. Man, I learned this the hard way recently. I wish I could say that this happened a long time ago and I've changed and become better and more hip, but I haven't. I've just gotten older. But I thought, I'm on social media. I'm on Facebook. And I thought, look at me, it's so cool. And look at my children. They're horrified that I even just said that. Because it's not cool. And I discovered that Facebook is for old people. I thought it was for, I was young when I joined Facebook. But I'm not young anymore. And they constantly remind me of that. This is not cool. Even Terry in the office, he said, you know, what do we have, Instagram? The church has Instagram. And I keep saying, that's great. I don't know how to use it. I'm too old. See, this adolescent stage in our development, this adolescent stage in the church is so important because they help us to understand, to know how we can relate to those up-and-comers. They oftentimes get a bad rap, too. Man, they're so influenceable. But you know what they also are? They can be influencers, right? And if we grow and we develop them in the ways of the Lord, if we pour into them, they will be able to affect change that we could never. And then we come to the adulthood stage of development, where wisdom and maturity are recognized. My daughter, an adolescent, is currently doing a project in her school where each student has been paired up with a senior living in a care home somewhere in the city. And their job is to learn from the senior, to sit with them, to listen to their stories, to take time to understand, what was your life like? What lessons have they learned? What wisdom can be passed on? And this is the same in our walk with God, that those who have reached adulthood in the Spirit have much to teach those who are in the earlier stages of development. But also knowing that even the mature ones, the journey is not over. They haven't arrived, you know, so to speak. They haven't outgrown or outmatured their need for the gospel. In fact, a truly mature believer is probably more desperate for the gospel now than when they first came to faith in Christ, because they know that the only way forward is to keep growing. Now, I'd like to do a simple object lesson this morning, and I'm quite terrified to do it because it could fail, because it relies on you. Not that you're going to fail, but if it doesn't go the way that I had planned, we're going to have to pivot a fair bit. I couldn't practice. But here's the thing. You don't have to get up. You don't have to do anything except for raise your hand if this statement applies to you. So if you're sitting here today and you have been a follower of Christ for more than 20 years, would you raise your hand? Okay, now keep your hands raised. If you've been a follower of Christ for more than 30 years, keep your hands up. You might have to do some math, okay? I know, I'm seeing the wheels turn in some people. More than 40 years. Okay, we're getting up there. More than 50. It's okay. If your hands are still up, don't be ashamed. This is a good thing. More than 60 years. Okay, I'm still seeing some hands. More than 70. All right. Okay. I see a few hands still. I see a few hands, and I'm going to ask a question. Doreen, I'm so glad it's you. Inger and Oki, I'm so thankful. My question for the three of you, have you outgrown your need for the gospel after 70 plus years of knowing Jesus? No. They're shaking their heads. No. They have not outgrown their need for the Word of God even after 70 plus years of knowing Him. Thank you for making my object lesson work. If you have been a follower of Jesus even for less than 1 year, you are still growing in your walk with Jesus. If you've been a follower of Jesus for more than 70 years, you are still growing in your walk with Jesus. And perhaps you're here this morning and you have not yet made the decision to follow after Jesus. I tell you what, as soon as you do, and you can have an opportunity to make that choice today, your life with Him, your growth and your development with Him will start and it will continue and continue. Each stage is vitally important. One is not better than the other, and they are all for different purposes. The danger comes when we don't recognize the stage that we are in, and we don't grow as we should. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, Peter says this, "Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness." In the Bible, spiritual milk, it's referencing the Word of God, the Bible. And so here, Peter's offering this encouragement to those who are very new to following Jesus. And he's saying, in this stage of your development, crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow. They're not ready for the heavy meat. They need milk. They need God's Word, just those beginning scriptures, those beginning passages, that understanding that God loves me. He has a plan for me. For any of those here who are new followers of Jesus, you should be longing for the milk of God's Word because it provides you with all of the spiritual food that you require. If you want to be spiritual healthy, we have to be feeding on the Word of God. And we should be wanting it more than anything else. But you know what? You can't stay on the simple things for forever. You can't stay on the simple milk. At some point, we develop, and we're able to digest more, and we have to grow. Now, in just a minute, I'm going to show you a few pictures. Don't put them up yet, Jana, because I need to prepare you for what you're about to see. Okay, you are about to see some of, in my opinion, the cutest pictures of all time. One that's going to horrify Tyler, but the rest of them are very cute. And you will likely ooh and aah, okay? So now that I've prepared you, first slide, first picture. Aw. Okay, I ooh and aah. Okay. Aww. Yeah. So the picture on your left is... That's Joshua when he was a baby, feeding his baby sister, Annika. And that person they're sitting on is me when my hair was a different color. You can see getting the milk. And then the picture on the right, that's little Annika. And she's feeding her baby sister, Tinica, that milk. Aw, they're so stinking cute. Right? Now, here's the thing. They needed milk at that stage because you would never expect an infant to come out of the womb ready to like chew on a big old piece of steak, right? You give them what they need at the time. Now let's look at the next picture. Okay, I knew this one would get you, right? The one on the left, that's Joshua when he was a baby. Can you guess what food he was trying to eat that day? Not peas. Nope. Oh, somebody said it over here. Avocado. Avocado. Now, when he first had that avocado, he didn't love it very much. He spat it right out. Now he can't get enough of it. But see, Josh, at this stage of his development, was able to move from the milk stage, where that's all that his body could digest, it was all that he could handle, to now some smushed up food that provided different nutrients, different nourishment. And then on the right, you have a fairly recent picture of Caleb. And I'm so glad. I feel like a good mother here because what is he eating? A cucumber. I could have shown you lots of pictures of him eating cotton candy or ice cream or all the other things, but I chose the one with the cucumber. Again, food that he can bite down on, chew up, process. And that food that's going to take him at this stage of his development into growth and full maturity in time. In time. The Bible talks about milk and solid food in reference to our spiritual growth. From when we first come to faith in Jesus, we begin with that milk. We begin with the basics of reading the Bible. We learn then in that stage that Jesus loves us. He has forgiven us. He is good. But as we grow and as we mature, we start increasing what we eat. We begin to feast on the solid food, which is just more of the Word of God. We dig deeper into Scripture. We learn more about doctrine, about what we believe about God, just like we're doing now. And we grow. And if we are growing as we ought to, we will always be hungry for more. More, more, more. But more of what? Because does this get old? Do we outgrow our need for this? We've already answered that question. The answer is no. We don't go away from this. We keep reading the Word. But what you took in as milk when you first believed, at different points of development and maturity, will now apply to you in new ways. It will be deeper, and it will take you deeper in your walk with Christ. The meaning of the Word never changes, but what you take from it, those nutrients that you gain at different stages, will increase as your understanding grows. Several years back, I was chatting with a young woman. She had grown up as a pastor's kid. She had grown up in church. She had always gone to church from the time she was born until this conversation, and at this time, she would have been in her early 30s. But she had started to really struggle, and I noticed a decline in her walk with God. And as we were chatting and she was starting to explain some of her struggles, I just asked her, hey, have you been in the Word? Have you been reading the Bible? Have you been having those personal times of devotion with Him? And she offered some information to me that really identified the issue. Basically, she gave me the diagnosis to her problems. She said something like this: Lizzie, I don't need the Bible. I know what it says. I've read it many times. See, for her, she felt like she had already grown to maturity. She had already eaten the solid food and she didn't need it anymore. But do you know what happens when a grown adult stops eating food? You get sick. At the very least, your growth is stunted. It will lead to death. That woman that I met with, who said she had outgrown her need for reading the Bible, she experienced those types of effects, those negative effects, that stunted growth on a spiritual level. And it continued to impact her in many ways until her life was in complete chaos and disarray. See, as followers of Jesus, it doesn't matter if you have read the Bible 500 times from cover to cover. This is our sustenance. And without it, our spiritual life will be stunted. So you start with the milk of the word. You take it in, and then you grow. You go deeper because you are meant to develop and change and be transformed. The problem is when we think we've outgrown our need for the word, or we forget that we are in a time of development, and perhaps we're not feeding ourselves the right stuff. This is the problem that the Apostle Paul ran into with the believers in the city of Corinth. There were people in Corinth who had gotten saved. They believed in Jesus. They were his followers, but they didn't grow. They didn't take God's word. They didn't allow those words to grow and develop them. And what happened is they became very stunted in their spiritual growth. The Apostle Paul talks about this issue in his letters to the Christians in Corinth. Corinth was filled with people who were very happy. They were content with not going deep, not going deeper with their walk with Christ. They were okay to just be saved, but not transformed. Saved, but not walking out that daily process of sanctification that comes when you stay hungry for the word of God. It's a process of development. And so Paul's writing to them, and he's addressing this and many other issues in the book of Corinthians because their behavior was inconsistent with the gospel that he had shared with them. So we have this recorded in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read to you the first two verses. Paul says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people. I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready." Man, that's a hard word. You're still not ready. See, Paul is examining this group of people who were followers of Jesus, but he's noticing their day-to-day life isn't lining up. They are just missing it. It's as if they made the decision to believe in Jesus, but then they stopped. Almost like we've arrived, we've got it, we're good. I don't need anything else. A few weeks back, I said that you are either going to move forward in your faith or you will be pushed backwards. You will either move forward with Christ or you will backslide. And these Corinthians were definitely in the camp that was being pushed backwards because they were not going deep with what they had been taught, with the words of God. By now, these believers should have been ready for solid food. They should have been taking in the milk of the word that causes growth and health. At this point, long into their belief in Jesus, they had become stunted. They were weak and they were being led astray. You know, when you're not growing deeper in Christ, when you're not developing your relationship and your walk with him by being in the word, that's when the enemy can easily take us, cause us to go astray, cause us to walk down a path that is not the path that God has for us. See, what had happened to the Corinthians is they didn't stay hungry. They didn't feed themselves. They didn't allow the word to transform them so that they could grow into spiritual maturity. So what is the answer? How do we do this as either new believers, as believers that have been following Christ for most of our lives, as believers that have been following Christ for decades upon decades? How do we, at those different stages, continue to grow? How do we live our daily Christian life so that we can get to that place of full maturity? I believe that the answer is found in Psalm chapter 1. It says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers." But here's the key. "But whose delight is on the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." Listen to what happens to a person who delights in the word. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. The answer to growth and development, for our daily walk as followers of Jesus is to be in the Word. Church, it is as simple as that. Be in the Word, to allow our roots to go down deep, to allow the Word of God to produce fruit in our lives. And we do that by reading the Bible. Reading the Bible. This is the spiritual milk that gives us nourishment. And as we continue to dig in, it will help us to get to that point of maturity. So where do we start? To keep it simple, we just start by reading. After all, that's the nourishment that we need. Now, if you were to ask different people, where should I start? I mean, this is a pretty big book, and there's a lot of places that I could begin. Where do I start? You're going to hear different answers, okay? You're going to hear some people say, start in the book of John. Maybe start from the beginning. Just start from Genesis. These are good answers. There's not really a right or a wrong answer with where you begin. But I would encourage you, if you are new to reading the Bible on your own, start from the book of Luke. I love the Gospel of Luke because within the Gospel of Luke, you get to see the entire birth, life, ministry, death, and resurrection of our Savior Jesus. You get to learn from him. And from Luke, move into the book of Acts. What was the church like? How did God use the church to bring about change to the world? But start reading. We're going to get really practical this morning, which is a little bit out of my comfort zone, but I feel like it's important. Reading the Bible, do you know how to do it? Do you know where to begin? How do we get deeper with Christ? I want to show you a very simple way that you can be reading and studying the Word of God, whether you are that infant in the faith or whether you've been following him for more than 70 years. To do this, you need three things. You need a Bible, a journal or a piece of paper, and something to write with. Okay? Now, if you are sitting here today and you do not have a Bible, please come and talk to me. I will get you a Bible because it is the Word of God and you need to have it in your hands. You need a Bible, a journal, and a pen. And then just set aside a time each day where you can read the Bible and where you can journal. This doesn't have to be hours upon hours. You can set aside, start with 20 minutes. I've got 20 minutes today. I'm going to take my Bible and my journal and my pen, and I'm going to spend some time going deeper with the Lord. And then we're going to follow a very simple acronym. It's called SOAP. We're going to put it up on the screen. First, the S is Scripture. First, you need to read the Bible. So let's say you're going to start from the book of Luke. You open up and you start reading from chapter 1, and you just read, and you're trying to think about what is something in this that I am reading that stands out to me. Maybe it's something that just jumps off the page. Wow, that is amazing. Maybe it's a question that you have. Wow, what does this mean? Maybe it's something that you're just wanting to study more on. Maybe it's an encouragement. Perhaps it's a rebuke. Finding something that sticks out to you. And then you take that, whatever it was, that verse or that phrase, and open up your journal and write it down. This verse stood out to me. Write it down word for word. And then that takes us to our next letter, which is O. Stands for observation. Now you're going to take time to think and write down any observations that you have about that verse or about that phrase that you wrote down. Perhaps it's, why did you write it down in the first place? What about that verse stood out to you? Is it a teaching? Is it a rebuke? What is God showing you in this passage? And if you don't know for certain, write down what you think. What you think it's talking about. Because as you do this, the Holy Spirit will be faithful to illuminate his word to you. To make it come alive to you. To make it transform your life. Because it's a part of your development. And then the third letter, A, stands for application. At this point, you've written down the passage. You've made a few key observations about it. Now you're asking, how does this apply to my life? What does this change in me, knowing this truth? What am I supposed to do with it? How does it affect my day to day? And this is really a time for you to reflect on how God wants to develop you in this season. Oftentimes, this is the step that we miss, that application step, right? Sometimes people can read the word, but if they're just reading it and they're not actually taking it in and allowing it to change them, if they're not applying it to their day-to-day life, that is one of the things, one of the contributors that can lead to stunted growth. We have to apply it. We have to allow the word to go deep to transform us. So write down what you believe God is saying to you through that passage and how it is going to affect you day in and day out. And then the P stands for prayer. Take time to pray. Now, I would encourage you to actually write out a prayer, because sometimes when we write it out, it just helps. It's that extra way that it helps it to really stick, that you're going to be thinking about that throughout your day. Man, I read this, and this is what I prayed, and I believe that God is going to help in this way. It can be praying about whatever it was that the Lord revealed to you from that passage, or perhaps just other needs that you have. Maybe it's just a time of praise. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you that the things that you did 2,000 years ago, you're doing today. Thank you, Jesus. Worship team, would you come? Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Your word, the word of God, the Bible. If we are going to grow as followers of Christ and develop as he wants us to, we need to be taking his word, allowing it to go deep so that we can grow. Reading the word and staying hungry for its sustenance, no matter what stage of development you are in, is how each one of us can grow in our daily walk with him. This is how we become believers who are nourishing ourselves on God's word, allowing it to change us, and then we are able to be effective ministers to others. God's word is good. This morning, I encourage you to stand, and we're going to close the service with singing a song of worship together. It's talking about building our life on the foundation of Jesus. And church, we have God's word for us that continues to develop us, continues to sustain us, and continues to give us life. So let's worship together.